Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Ellen Quadgrass. I am the minister here at Westminster, and I would like to welcome all of you to our whole congregation worship service this morning. We are glad and grateful not only that our young people are with us today, but that some of them are also helping. As readers and ushers, you may have noticed on your way in, so many thanks to them. And we now begin our worship service with the prelude. Some of us want to be home right now. We pause this morning from the chaos of the world to reclaim the beauty within these walls and find here a home that holds us in our struggles a resting place that can support us, a place to pause and hear again what calls us forward, a place where we might turn in our journey toward what's right, a place where we might turn toward something greater as we walk this path together. Let us join in singing our opening hymn, number, I believe it's 389, Gathered Here. Please rise in body or in spirit, 389. Standing as we say together the unison affirmation that is found in your order of service. Love is the spirit of this church, and service is law. This is our great covenant, to dwell together in peace, to seek the truth in love, and to help one another. Please be seated.
Spark in each of us, connection and commitment to this living tradition and to each other.
Perseverance is our theme this month. It's a very long word. It's a word most of us don't use every day. Maybe some of you who've been on this earth a little less long than others of us, some of you may not have even heard of it before. So, what does it even mean? Well, you could say it means to be persistent or to work hard or to try and try again, like the little engine that could or the itsy bitsy spider. It means to pick yourself up and try again when you want to make something happen. But there's more to it than that, I think. There's more to it than that, and that's what this service is about. Not just about what this word means, but about being a people of perseverance and what that might make possible for us. Let's start from the beginning. You could say perseverance begins with an idea, with a picture in your own mind, with something that you want. No, not something that you want, something that you really want, or even really, really want. And I'm not talking about your favorite candy or the latest video game or something you can buy. I'm talking about something you want because it feels good in your heart, because it speaks to your soul. So perseverance begins with a heartfelt desire, an intention, you could say, which, as it happens, was the theme of last month, and that is not entirely a coincidence. In today's service, we're going to invite you to reflect on three aspects of perseverance and what it might look like in your life, beginning with connecting or reconnecting with an intention that you may have gotten a glimpse of last month or that comes to mind today, something that makes you say, that feels important, or, the idea of doing something about that, that feels good. Like in this story that Deborah is going to tell, written by a girl from Pakistan, from a place almost on the other side of the world, written by a girl who began with an idea, with a heartfelt intention, and then she persevered.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Do you believe in magic? Well, I have a story to tell. It's a story about a young girl. It's a true story. And she and her family lived in a land far from here. The girl loved to watch a TV show. It was a show about a boy who had a magic pencil. Now, with his magic pencil, he could draw something, and it would become real. If he was hungry, he could draw a bowl of curry, and magic, it would appear. If he and his friends were in danger, he could draw a police officer to help them and support them and keep them safe. Well, how she wished that she had a magic pencil too. I bet you would as well. If she had a magic pencil, she could draw a lock on her bedroom door to keep out her pesky brothers. If she had a magic pencil, she could make the smell that came through the window sometime from the dump, she could erase that. She could do things to help other people, too. She could draw beautiful new clothes for her mother. She could draw a new school to replace the old crumbling one in the village where her father taught. She could draw a new soccer ball for her brothers. So many things, if only she had a magic pencil. Well, one day, her mother asked her to go bring some trash over to the dump. And while she was there, she saw a young girl her age. The girl was sorting through the trash, making piles. When she went home, the girl asked her father, "Why have I never seen that girl in my class at school?" Her father gently explained, "Dear one, there are families in our village that have no money, that are too poor to send their children to school. In fact, some of those children need to work and forage to help support their families. And dear one, there are some families that don't send their daughters to school because they believe that girls and women belong in the home, cooking and cleaning and taking care of the children, and that is all." Well, this made the girl sad. She never realized how much privilege she had to be able to go to school. She loved school. Oh, if she had a magic pencil, maybe she could change things. But she thought, "I do have a loving, supportive family, and I am able to attend school, so I'm going to study really hard and become a good student, and maybe then I could change some things." So she did. She studied her lessons hard. She became one of the top students in her school. Now, in her country, there were some men, some dangerous men, and they had very loud, very angry voices. And they said that girls should be forbidden to go to school. Yeah, it was not good. Well, those dangerous men, some of them started coming to her village, and they carried guns in their hands, and they shouted in loud, angry voices, and one by one, the girls in her village and their families started to move away, or stopped sending their daughters to school. It was a sad time. She thought, this is not right. This is not just. If I had a magic pencil, I could change this. But she did have a pencil, and she started to write all the time, every day. She wrote everything she heard, and what she saw, and what she thought, and what she believed. But that was not enough. She started to use her voice. She started to speak up. It started small. She started making speeches in her own village. And then her voice grew stronger. And she started traveling around her country and speaking to other people about what she saw and she heard and she felt. And other voices started to join hers in a chorus for what they believed. Now, the dangerous men, they tried to silence her, but they failed. And her voice grew even stronger. She even spoke to a reporter from an international newspaper. And you know, there really was some magic. From her small room, in her small village, her words, her voice spread around the whole world. Now millions of people had heard her voice. She had given voice to all of the girls and women in her country. Through all of the challenges that she faced, she kept writing, she kept thinking, she kept speaking, she kept on believing. And she still speaks today. Her name is Malala Yousafzai, and in 2014, she was the youngest person ever to receive the Nobel Prize for Peace.
Malala had a wish that she wanted to make come true, an intention with which she persevered, an intention that she wanted so much that she was willing to work every day to make it come true. What about you? Do you have a wish? If you had a magic pencil, what would you draw? I'd like to invite us all to take a moment and think of an intention, maybe one that you already made last month, or maybe it's something that comes to you now. It might be a wish like Malala's, to make the world better by speaking up about some things that aren't right. It might be something closer to you and to home, like a wish to be kinder to your brother or sister, or maybe even kinder to yourself. Or it might be a wish to grow up and be like one of your parents, or maybe, if you are a parent, it's a wish to keep striving to be the best parent you can be. What intention feels like yours? What do you hear in your heart?
Thank you.
Malala had an intention, a beautiful intention that she brought to life and is still bringing to life, but it wasn't easy. She had to study, she had to work, she had to have courage, she had to believe, she had to persevere. People tried to stop her. I bet she had some moments where she thought to herself, can I really do this? I'm not sure I can do this. She may even have had some days where she wanted to give up completely. If she did, she would be so human, just like the rest of us. It's so human to start something and then hit a roadblock, realize something is harder than we thought, or much harder than we thought, and then we get discouraged. We want to stop. We give up. I remember hearing a phrase recently. It went like this: try, fail. Try, fail. Try, fail. Try, succeed. They say when you're trying to quit smoking, you can expect to try as many as 8 or 10 times before you succeed. Other things are like that too, many other things. Maybe you've heard stories about people who have failed but didn't stay failed. Like, for example, Steven Spielberg, the now multi-billion-dollar filmmaker who was rejected both times he applied to film school at the University of Southern California. Or the Beatles, who were the explosively popular group in the 60s and ever since, who were rejected by a number of record labels, including one called Decca Records, who said, guitar groups are on their way out, and the Beatles have no future in show business. Or there's Michael Jordan, the now famous basketball player who was cut from his high school varsity team in his sophomore year. He has been quoted as saying that he's lost almost 300 games over the course of his career. On 26 occasions, he was entrusted to take the game-winning shot and missed. I have failed over and over and over again in my life, he said, and that is why I succeeded. Perseverance, you could say, is all about failing, or at least feeling like you're failing, and starting over. Letting go, stepping back, listening to your heart, and trying again, and then again. It can mean facing hard feelings. It can mean facing fear. It can mean facing the places we have failed in the past. And I wonder, is there any place where you have let go, where you have given up, where you might like to start over? Is there an intention you've had that you have or have had that you have put away, that you've given up on, but still feels like something you want? Is there some magic that's missing from your life that you would like to bring in or bring back? Our following song is in your order of service. Please remain seated as we sing together.
Thank you.
So, perseverance. We start with intention. We let go and start over again and again. But there is another dimension, another side to perseverance, as described in this little story. A boy and his father were walking along a road when they came across a large stone. "Do you think if I use all of my strength, I can move this rock?" the child asked. His father answered, "If you use all your strength, I'm sure you can do it." The boy began to push the rock. Exerting himself as much as he could, he pushed and he pushed, and the rock did not move. He pushed harder. Still, the rock did not move. Finally, sweating, grunting, even swearing, the boy pushed again and again. Nothing, no movement, not an inch. Discouraged and downcast, the boy said to his father, "You were wrong. I can't do it." His father gave him a long, slow look and put his arm around the boy's shoulder. "No, son, you couldn't just then, but you didn't use all your strength. You didn't ask me to help you." We forget sometimes that we can ask for help. We forget sometimes that other people are around at all. We are encouraged from a young age to do things independently, and on the one hand, that's good. We want to be able to rely on ourselves. We want to be able to learn things and do things even when no one else is around. And we forget sometimes we don't have to do things alone. We forget we can invite others to join us and how good it can feel when they say yes. I invite you to take a few moments to think about whether one of your heart's intentions might benefit from support from someone or from others, and imagine what it might feel like to have that help. Imagine who you'd like to help you, how you'd like them to help, how the project might feel different. Imagine knowing that you are not alone. Let's join together for our hymn, "Walking With You." Please remain seated. It's in your order of service. Perseverance is a very long word, and a word we don't use every day, but it is a word that, when we act on it, can make magic happen. not magic wand magic, not genie in a bottle magic, but hopes come to life magic. Magic pencil magic. I love that part of Malala's story, that she believed. First in a fairy tale, and then as she learned more about life, she started to believe in herself. She started to believe in the idea that if she went to school and studied hard, it would make a difference. She started to believe that she could make a difference in the lives of other people, of other children who were like her but poor, who couldn't go to school or weren't allowed. She started to believe that she could make a difference in the world and make it a better place. I wonder what happened inside of her as she asked herself what she could do. What happened that led her to simply stop wishing and instead start doing? Was there a moment in which she just knew, I am going to do whatever it takes? Or was it a slow growing of something inside her that she could, that she would, that she would, until she did? Writing, making speeches, traveling, being interviewed by the New York Times, and eventually founding a nonprofit, writing a book, and as Deborah mentioned, winning the Nobel Prize at 17, the youngest person ever to do so. What enables an ordinary person to do extraordinary things? I wonder how many times she had to say to herself, Malala, you can do this. I wonder how many times she had to say to herself, just keep going. Malala, just keep going. When we see a successful person, we see the successes. We don't always see the fears, doubts, nerves, and late nights that go into it. We don't see how many times they have to decide again in the face of some new challenge, I will do it this time. I can do this one thing now. I think of what it takes. Believing, as Deborah said to me the other day, what would you do if you knew you couldn't fail? It takes courage, daring, and then courage to do something hard, and then finding the courage again and again. It takes asking for help from other people, for insight from your own deeper self, or perhaps from God, or a larger knowing, or something greater than yourself. It takes letting go. We cannot be on all the time. And it takes walking together. When we walk together, nothing feels quite as hard. And we must savor. We must savor the life we have as we walk the road we're on, give ourselves room for delight, for fun, and for joy. We cannot be on all the time. Perseverance can make magic. What do you need to help make it happen in your life? You may have noticed when you walked in some tables set up around the room. If you have a hope or a dream or an intention that you would like to persevere with, or even if you're not exactly sure what is in your heart, I invite you, when the music begins, to approach a table near you. There are four tables in the back, so if you're in the back third of the room, I invite you to go to the back. There are tables here on the side and one here at the front. On these tables, you will find scattered cards with words, words that might spark something, words that might encourage you in your efforts. Take a look, see which card speaks to you. Don't think about it. Don't second guess yourself, just take the first one that speaks to you and return to your seat. If you'd like to participate, but know it doesn't make sense for you to move to a table, please raise your hand and an usher will come over to you with cards to choose from. I invite you. Together we can do what no single one of us can do alone. It is so with our personal intentions, and it is so with our collective calling as a congregation. One way we put that collective call into action is through our offering. Each month, our social justice team selects an organization that will receive half our undesignated offering. For February, this organization is the Rhode Island Good Neighbor Energy Fund, which has raised over $13.8 million and helped nearly 50,000 households since 1986. The other half of the offering goes to support the life and work of this congregation. I invite you now to join in bringing some relief to the world and some support to the sustenance of this place, as the offering will now be given and received.
Thank you.
going together in hymn number 368. Let us sing. Please rise in body or in spirit. Reverend Wayne Arneson. Take courage, friends. The way is often hard. The path is never clear, and the stakes are very high. But take courage, for deep down, there is another truth whose hand you are holding. You are not alone.